Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Monday, February 27th, 2017. We have 30 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule, so lots to tell you about there. In our marine weather forecast, hold on a second, let me grab my other piece of paper here, we have northwest winds 5 knots becoming southwest 10 to 15 knots in the morning, so you can see a weather system moving through with that change in the wind direction. And today we'll wrap up the weekend celebration of the Fisher Poets Gathering with a selection from a master Fisher poet who's no longer with us, Smitty Harrison Smith. We'll hear his pretty damn great poem, darn great poem, Crick Robber Gray. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have 7 inbounders. We have 8 in the Astoria anchorage. We have 6 in the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria. 4 ships at sea and waiting to come into the river, and 9 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Desert Harrier. She's a bulk carrier arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. You'll probably see her there by about 6 a.m. The Galleon is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Longview anchorage to pick up wheat. She'll pass Astoria around 8 a.m., arrive in Longview around 11:30 a.m. The Resolute Bay is arriving from Russia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 a.m. and arrive in Vancouver by about 3:30 p.m. The Star Minerva is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She's going there to pick up copper concentrate for export. She'll pass Astoria around noontime and arrive in Vancouver by about 6 p.m. The Sun Ruby is arriving from San Francisco, headed for Longview to pick up logs. She'll pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m. and arrive in Longview by about 10 p.m. The Maginari is arriving from Port Angeles, headed for Longview. She's passing Astoria around 9:30 p.m. You'll see her in Longview, or her running lights anyway, by about 1 a.m. on Tuesday. The Pan Amber is arriving from South Korea, headed for Vancouver, Washington's anchorage. She's going upriver to pick up wheat, and she will pass Astoria around 10:30 p.m. You might see her in Vancouver by about 4:30 a.m. on Tuesday. In the Astoria anchorage, we have all 8 vessels are awaiting orders. They are the Ocean Trader 1, the Sari Inda, the Andes Queen, the Liang Chao, the Vamos, the Star Markella, the Desert Harrier, and the TY Point. And in the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, the Istria is headed for Portland to pick up wheat today. Leaving around 6 p.m., you might see her there around midnight. And the Taurus Ocean is headed for Longview from the Rice Island anchorage. Leaving around midnight, maybe she'll arrive in Longview by about 3:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. That leaves the Stella Eva, the LMZ Phoebe, the GH Fortune, and the Theodore Oldendorf, all awaiting orders in the Rice Island anchorage. If you get up on the hill in Astoria, and look upriver, it's quite a sight to see all those ships in the anchorage, because now we have that vista of the entire Astoria anchorage and the Rice Island anchorage. It's really kind of really pretty to see all those ships out there at anchor. In our outbounders, heading downriver and out to sea, we have the SB Carioca leaving Kalama carrying wheat at about 6:30 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 11:30 a.m. The Trustin Trader 2 will be leaving Longview carrying wheat, departing around 9 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 12:30 p.m. Well, I'm going to stop talking about ships right now. You can see the entire ship schedule on the Ship Report website later this morning. But I want to share a poem with you. This was recorded in, I think, 2009 at the Wet Dog Cafe in Astoria. This is a Fisher poet who was one of the greats. He's no longer with us, Smitty Harrison Smith. This is his poem, Crick Robber Gray, which is just a delight. It's so many layers of meaning in this poem. It's about a fishing boat that is now a flower holder in someone's garden. Here's Smitty.
Okay, I got another one here that seems to exemplify some of the sights around. One that's it's most painful for me to see is that someone's old fishing boat used for a decoration. Anyway, this is a poem, and the name of it is Crick Robber Gray. If any of you fishermen in the audience are law-abiding, you probably don't know what Crick Robber Gray is. But anyway, it's a traditional color for fishing boats. I went to a garden party. I washed my hands and face, shed fishing duds for city clothes. I sure felt out of place. I made attempts at conversation with the gathered folks. smiled weakly at the cliches, and chuckled at the jokes. Trapped in these surroundings, far from self-assured, were flowers, shrubs, and gardens so neatly manicured. Coming to this party was not of my choosing, but I felt obligated, and that ruled out refusing the invite from the widow of my longtime fishing friend, who now was resting peacefully with no more nets to mend. To fit in with this party, I'd at least have to try and find something with which I could identify. So to the center of the garden, I was somehow drawn, where my old friend's fishing boat was perched upon the lawn. Now just a decoration, stripped of ropes and lines, oohed and awed at by the city folks all dressed up to the nines. There was no mistaking the grace of line and flare, despite attempts to mask its state of disrepair. Caulking seams agaping, a plank or two were sprung. Some stainless rigging still shone bright where a fuchsia basket hung. And the garden keeper's notion of a decoration quaint, the hull now hideous in blue and yellow paint. A far cry from its former home of River Bend and Bay, where it proudly wore the color of Crick Robber Gray. When this boat came off the grid, beginning each new season, it bore a certain color, and for a darn good reason. There was a chance that it would drift a few feet off the line and have production interrupted and a needless fine, because it fished all sorts of weather, and on a foggy day, there was a great advantage to Crick Robber Gray. Though paint was necessary for the woods' protection, also necessary was freedom from detection. But discovery now no longer determined by the glint or practice eye aided by a seven-power squint. Now all is revealed by Loran and radar's cathode ray, put into obsolescence use of Crick Robber Gray. Though times have changed, selecting paint from force of habit, the fisherman sees that familiar can and is likely still to grab it. Because the fishing boat is special, built for work, not play. Tradition dictates color. That's Crick Robber Gray. The garden party's over. I said my goodbye to my old friend's fishing boat. A tear came to my eye. And as I took just one last glance, yellow paint had peeled away. I saw a few remaining flakes of Crick Robber Gray.
And that was Smitty Harrison Smith from a past Fisher Poets Gathering. Smitty's no longer with us, but his poetry lives on in some of these recordings. This was from a CD that Coast Community Radio put out in 2009, selections from Fisher Poets that year. This most recent Fisher Poets was the 20th annual, and it's still going strong. Quite an amazing gathering that happens every year. You've been listening to The Ship Report. I'm Joanne Rideout. Stay with us.